Turkey! Tokyo! Australia! Germany! Africa!
Here we go. Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
There, hopefully that's a little better. Yeah. Ah, we're going to play Beat the Mixer again tonight. It is the ninth day of June 2016. This is The Horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is where we live. That is where you go if you want to jump into the rollicking multimedia extravaganza that is the Madcap Horn chat room community. Some folks already having wandered by. Good evening, Anatole and Jug of Punch and Labor Man. Also, good evening to longtime, inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who, though he is a third stage guild navigator, has declined to fold space this afternoon because of fan noise in the man cave. Yes, yes, yes. Sparky's many fans have gathered outside the man cave, and he can hardly hear himself again. No, it's the, you know, the fan that circulates the air that prevents the man cave from becoming, you know, like unto a blast furnace. Right. Yes. Hey, so we got that. Longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Lottie will be along presently. Hey, look, Steve from Georgia Stan just wandered into the room. Cool. Oh, hi. I'm Bob Kincaid. I was yesterday. I still am today. And this is... ordinarily, this would be Thorn in the Side Thursday. But, program note, I'm not going to be here tomorrow. By the way, another program note. Let's see, 9, 2, 1, 2. Monday, the 13th, I will be filling in for Mike Malloy. He's got a thing going on this weekend, and I guess won't be back till late or something like that. But anyway, I'll be filling in for Mike Malloy on Monday. No program tomorrow. I will be at the West Virginia State Democratic Convention, and as a consequence, won't be here to do, you know, the program. So it'll be some sort of rerun that that Agnes sets up at her choosing. I hope it will be enjoyable. But that also plays into our fundraising goal this evening. We need to raise at least $250. One at $250, two at $125. Oh, dear God. Four at $62.50, which means eight at $31.25. You get it, yeah. Or 10 at 25, 25 at 10. But we need to raise at least $250 to stay something like, you know, even. Okay, can we do that? It sure would be wonderful. Like I said, this would ordinarily be Thorn in the Side Thursday, but instead it's going to be Thorn in the Front Porch Thursday. Or Thursday among the thorns on the front porch. So we're going to do what we ordinarily do on Friday on the front porch this evening, which means that in about, 55 minutes and change, 54 minutes and change, we will open up the Horn Malloy Skype chat group for your enjoyment and your participation. If you've never participated before, well, just get on Skype, sign in, it's easy, and then send a contact request to Sparky Dunk, SparkyDunc, on Skype, and include a message about front porch, something like that, so he knows that you're not trying to get him to help you recover your Nigerian legacy, and you'll be on your way. Sparky will lay out the breadcrumbs for you, and then you'll go from there. So, yeah, that's about 54 or 53 minutes for now. And as usual, our front porch conversations are quite rousing and rollicking. I don't know if that'll translate over to Thursday or not, because a lot of people kind of plan it for Friday. Right. And please pardon the occasional need to, smack the mixer. The short is acting up again. Oh well. So that's basically where we stand for the evening. Of course, we're not sponsored by. We don't sell anything here. We don't have any vacuum cleaners to pick up bowling balls or any of that stuff. So the $250 we need to raise becomes rather, critically important to warding off, problems. Hey, that's a good word. That's a good neologism. Anatole in the chat room. Thorns Day. That's very nice. Very nice indeed. Because it is that. If you want to help with the fundraising, you just go over to headonradionetwork.com, click on the tab contribute, and then just fill out the fields, right? And you can leave the ones blank about. What you do there at Mel's Diner, and how much you do it for, and where Mel's Diner is, and all that kind of stuff. Or you can use the United States Postal Service. Checks and money orders, please, because remember we do share a UPS store with the Klan, because UPS insists on doing business with the Klan. So checks and money orders made payable to the Horn are the best bet. And the mailing address there is the Horn, 1038 North Eisenhower Drive, PMB 318, Beckley, Beckley, WV 25801. And Boss Man Wayne, who will also be at the convention, loves it when there's mail instead of an echo in the mailbox. And Dr. Bill O'Brien will be at the convention as well. Absolutely. There will be a Horn contingent representing at the West Virginia State Democratic Convention. It should be an interesting experience. But it happens tomorrow and Saturday, so that's why no program. Wow, okay. Thank you very kindly to Billable Rick, who's going to get us started in honor of Thorazine Dart Thursday. Well, well. I'll kick in $75 as other folks match the challenge. The 50 is what I pledged last week, but haven't yet ponied up, plus a $25 late fee assessment. Leave it to a lawyer to come up with the late fee. I love spring. Oh, come on. Come on, Mike. There we go. I love spring. There may be some occasional pauses and dead air where I try not to sneeze all over you. pollen. There we go. Okay. Now, where do we go from here? You know, last night included, we've had several instances of This Week in Target screening. Well, apparently we've moved on from screaming to other, shall we say, more physical manifestations. What do I mean by that? Well, according to WGNT, what is being described as a small bomb, a small one, just a little one. I mean, there weren't any nails or nickels or ball bearings in it. It was just a small bomb. Not a big bomb, not a medium bomb, not a just right bomb, not a Goldilocks bomb, but a small bomb. Went off in the restroom at the Target in Evanston, Illinois, today. Commander Joe Dugan said there were no people inside the bathroom when the small, damn it, it was small, you hear? It was a small bomb. Nothing big. It was just a small bomb. When the small bomb went off in the restroom, and there was, you know, there was minor damage, just minor, not major, because it was a small bomb, a little bitty bomb, just tiny, just small. There was some minor damage, but no one was injured. According to Commander Dugan, it was made with a plastic bottle, but as mentioned, no nails, no tacks, no other projectiles. Commander Joe Dugan and his staff are having a look-see on the footage from the security cam in hopes of finding the perpetrator. Mm-hmm. I mean, it small bomb at Target, which is now, thanks to the evangelical, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, homosexual, fundamentalist Christians in this country, Target is now not just the name of the company, it's what they are. Because there are something on the order of 1,330,585 alleged human beings in this country who are incensed, wrathful, I tell you, disgusted with Target's policy of not much caring where, or you know, just not berating people, trans people, for where they go potty. This, to the good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, homosexual Christians, is intolerable. My favorite part of the story, officials are not yet sure if the bomb, it's a small bomb, a little itsy-bitsy bomb, if the bomb was related to the right-wing wrath the company has endured as a result of their bathroom policy of not being bigoted against trans people. A small bomb. Because, I mean, you know, I mean, there on the wild and mean streets of Evanston, Illinois, come on. On the wild and mean streets of Evanston, Illinois, anybody, just anybody, could place a small bomb in a Target restroom. I mean, you know, it could have been Ruby Tuesdays. It could have been Lowe's. Could have been Home Depot. Could have been Wally World. But it was, you know, Target. And I mean, why would the followers of the Prince of Peace put a small bomb, not a big bomb, just a small bomb. Why would they put a small bomb in Target when, after all, they've only been howling? Oh, God, it's like, I promise it's not Morse code. Was that O-S-O or S-O-S? I'm not sure which. Damn it. This is annoying. Ah, we're back. Yes, that's how nice. Anyway, it was just a small bomb. No, nothing to be concerned about here. Nothing to see here. Move along. These are not the evangelical, fundamentalist, homosexual Christians, you know, we're not looking for. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there are people out there who are preparing for a very different America. You remember when when all the white wingers had the purple polka dotted blue screaming hissy over Ahmed Muhammad because he made a clock? And all the good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, homosexual Christians said, Jesus, that doesn't look like a clock to me. It looks like a bomb. And all the other right-wingers said, sure do. Right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I know this is annoying you. It's not doing me much good either. Damn it. Now there's a non-hissy being had. Why? Well, because it's being because it's been perpetrated by a perfectly trustworthy white boy with a very interesting name that I'm not even sure I know how to pronounce, but I'll give it the old college try. Austin Hogwout. He cherishes his father-son time with his daddy, Brett Hogwout. Woot, don't know. And their father-son time consists working on flying stuff together. You remember those really cool Estes model rockets? I mean, they had the little bitty ones, and then you could build the freaking Saturn V that took 19 of those solid rocket engines to get it off the ground or whatever it was. Yeah, well, that's not what we're talking about. No. Those things were so cool. You could have the devil's own time trying to go and retrieve, you know, the part that came down with the parachute, but they were cool. No, Austin Hogwout and Brett Hogwout Hawit? Hawout. I got no clue because they don't give out pronouncers anymore. No, they've over the last few months, last year or so, they've done some drone innovating. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, drones are cool. Drones are fun. Drones are best when they're one-on-one. No, wait, that's George Michael. And they've been modifying some drones. First, they built a drone, and this is up in Connecticut, before somebody says, well, you know, I mean, it is Texas, or it's Alabama, you're going to have that. Well, damn, what do you want for Arizona? No, this is apparently Connecticut. And they got some wooded land around their home, the Hogwouts do. And they made a drone with, of course, why not, naturally, a handgun attached to it. And then apparently they figured out a way to fire the said handgun while it was aboard the said drone and flying around under radio control. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. Cool.
Not really.
Because we really don't trust... We really don't trust anybody to have drones with projectile weapons aboard, except, you know, the United States government. Because they can always be trusted to only use things like Hellfire missiles to kill people, including American citizens and 16-year-old boys, who really, really, really need a right and proper killing. Yeah. Not these guys. No, they wanted to make a drone with a handgun on board, and they were plinking in the woods with it, apparently, and they made a video about it. But not satisfied with something like that, they took another step. And built another drone. Only this time, unsatisfied with a handgun, they took it a step further. And they rigged it up to be a flying drone flamethrower. Yeah, well... I mean, why not? How cool, right? Because freedom. And they shot video of this one, too. And in fact, they shot video of their flamethrower drone burning a turkey on a spit into a just a carboniferous cinder. And they started a fire, you know, below the turkey, too, because the flamethrower was sort of, it wasn't like laser beams or any sharks with frickin' laser beams. No, it was some sort of liquid fuel like, you know, charcoal starter or something like that. And in the video, the fire just sits there and they bounce it around a little bit, so they move the fire over around on the turkey, so... I can't imagine the turkey tasted very good. Enter the Federal Aviation Administration. The Federal Aviation Administration, who is charged with administering flight in the United States, you know, so that things don't fly into each other and planes don't go, you know, plunging to the earth and corkscrewing into the dirt and in a ball of flame or anything. They asked Brett Hogwout to please provide them with, and they did this via a subpoena, records including the purchase records and an accounting of advertising dollars gained from the YouTube video for the flying gun. Mr. Hogwout told the FAA to go and urinate up a rope. I mean, he didn't say that exactly. He just said no, that he would not respond to their subpoena because, I don't know,
Wolverines on a drone.
Yeah. So then they put up the flamethrower drone video. The FAA again said, well, you know, we'd like to know a little bit more about this, please. Because you can imagine in a world where, say, lunatic fringe Mormons take over bird sanctuaries, that you might want to curtail. Because come on. Fat dead Tony Scalia's originalism. I really don't think that drones aboard or guns aboard drones or flamethrowers aboard drones are within the purview of the Second Amendment. Because if we'd had those back there at Bunker Hill, the revolution might have been over a lot quicker than it actually wound up being. So they subpoenaed, the FAA did. They subpoenaed the details for the flamethrower drone. The government of the United States is contending that the flamethrower drone is in fact an aircraft, and that as an aircraft, it falls within the regulatory purview of the Federal Aviation Administration. The FAA noting that even though it is unmanned, it is a contrivance device that is invented, used, or designed to fly in the air. Enter the pettifogger for the Hogwouts, a lawyer by the name of Mario Cerami. Who instead argued, at the time the FAA organic statute, it's organic, was created, drones were the stuff of science fiction. The statute did not contemplate their existence. Rather, the statute was directed at airplanes, helicopters, and blimps, and the resources on the ground to support them. Take that. Feed 'em! And just because something flies doesn't mean the FAA gets to regulate it. The lawyer made this argument. Flags also fly when attached to a pole, don't they? No, they don't really fly. We also say that plastic bags or bits of paper carried on the air fly about. No, we really don't. We say they blow about. Isn't that a motif in American Beauty? Oh, good. He's a movie buff. Baseballs can go pretty high. We call it a fly ball. If airborne locomotion's all there is to it, then the FAA can regulate frisbees and clay pigeons and paper airplanes, a rubber band, spitballs, anything juggled, a birthday balloon, hand-tossed pizza dough. Yeah. So, don't be surprised if some crazy-ass evangelical fundamentalist fundy decides to fly a flamethrower drone into a target bathroom once they figured out that the small bomb just didn't have its intended effect. As Gerald points out, yes, to my understanding, a drone is indeed an aircraft. That's the reason it's illegal to shoot one down. Just like it's illegal to shoot down, aircraft. Now, compare this with young Ahmed Mohammed, who was carried away in handcuffs for making a clock. Brother Usher Steve in New York is apparently compiling a collection, noting by email, I want to punch this guy too. Yeesh. courtesy of aviation aficionado, Brother Deacon Asa. Holy dumbass, Batman! Did this drone idiot hire Saul Goodman to represent him against the FAA? Better call Saul. Yeah, oh well. I mean, drones have peaceful purposes. You know, I have seen recently some absolutely stunning footage shot by drones. Some of it beautiful, some of it journalistic and quite informative. Curiously enough, none of the drones in question that shot that footage had either, you know, handguns or... really? Flamethrowers attached to them. Jeebus. So, there's that. I can't wait till maybe some insurrectionist breakaway Mormons in Utah decide they need some of those. Kill. Note coming from Steve from Georgia Stan. Hey, Bob, had to go to the doctor's today. Copays are really steep. I'm looking forward to kick in tonight's $10. That's pitiful. I'm sorry, friend. No, that is not pitiful. Don't apologize, Steve. And don't do that if it's been a rough day. We'll find out. We'll figure out a way. You're a tremendous help. And, you know, this is a community, and hopefully people will pick up, you know, slack. Thank you, Steve. Thank you indeed. What else? Because we've got a lot of stuff to potentially work through this evening. Kind of trying to stay out of the swamp for a little bit. I'm sure we'll be talking about some swampy stuff later in the program. I got something here, though. It was touching. It's a nice thing. And it's not the usual swill of hateful barbarity that informs this country. It's an appreciation of a young woman in McKinney, Texas, of all places. Don't know where McKinney, Texas is. But even if they don't realize it, or some of them don't, McKinney, Texas has a reason to be very, very proud. The reason they have to be very, very proud is a young woman named Larissa Martinez. She is this year's, this being graduation season, she is this year's valedictorian at Boyd High School, who are apparently the Boyd Broncos. And she delivered, they had their graduation, and she delivered her valedictory address. Come on. Why now? Oh, well. She delivered her valedictory address and did so in a form that is far and away different from what one usually gets during such events. Because she used her valedictory address to talk about an ugly reality, a painful reality in this country. Now, don't worry about young Larissa Martinez. She is apparently, as valedictorian of Boyd High School in McKinney, Texas, she's headed off next fall to dear old Yale. Bula, 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 bula. But she has spent much of her young life in a state of fear. Let's just let her tell us about it, shall we?
I am one of the 11 million undocumented immigrants living in the shadows of the United States. I decided to stand before you today and reveal these unexpected realities because this might be my only chance to convey the truth to all of you that undocumented immigrants are people too. I was hesitant to speak about this here today because of the great divide of opinions concerning the topic of immigration in America, but I feel like I owe it to all of you to be honest, and I owe it to myself. The most important part of the debate, and the part most often overlooked, is the fact that immigrants, undocumented or otherwise, are people too. People with dreams, aspirations, hopes, and loved ones. People like me. People who have become a part of the American society and way of life, and who yearn to help make America great again, without the construction of a wall built on hatred and prejudice. We are here without official documentation because the U.S. immigration system is broken and it has forced many families to live in fear. I myself have been waiting 7 years for my application to even be processed. So I hope that all of you leave here today knowing that we are trying to do it the right way, but we don't know how. I ask for all of you to try to look beyond the way in which the media portrays us and the dehumanizing accusations that some politicians have made. I ask for you to please keep your hearts open and try to find the love and understanding that makes us human. Because after all, we are people just like you. While I can't predict the future and tell you how successful you're all going to be, by sharing my story, I hope to convince all of you that if I was able to break every stereotype based on what I'm classified as, Mexican, female, undocumented, first generation, low income, then so can you. We do not have to let expectations become our reality. I am no expert in this journey we call life, but I am living proof that beating the system is possible. We do not have to conform to the limitations that others put on us. There will always be people that judge us and set expectations based on their preconceived ideas of who they think we are and who they think we should be. However, we have the ability to prove them wrong. In those moments when you need a reason to continue moving forward, close your eyes and picture yourself in the future saying, "They told me I couldn't, so I did." Thank you.
They told me I couldn't, so I did. Kind of a beautiful thing, isn't it? Kind of a... It's the best kind of rebuke. Of that ignorant, ugly Mar-a-Lago Mussolini. Because, see, no matter how intelligent she is, no matter the fact that she has been accepted to one of the two most prestigious universities in the United States. The Mar-a-Lago Mussolini would love nothing more than to have her picked up, transported across the border, and dumped in some barren desert wasteland. And it sounds like she's got a pretty good attitude. But this, you know, this points up the necessity of treating the immigrant population far more humanely than we do. Of recognizing their essential humanity. Of not referring to them as illegal human beings anymore. We don't do that here, but God knows it is done relentlessly elsewhere. Good luck to you, Larissa. Good luck to you indeed. What else? What else this evening? Totally different topic. And we'll just kind of head back into the weirdness of the swamp. A little something coming out of Her Majesty's Navy. Yeah, this is bizarre. Apparently, the billion-pound brand-new next-generation, supposed to serve for the next 30 years, fleet of Royal Navy destroyers, Royal, you know, British Navy, they have a little problem. When you deploy them for ages on end to the Persian Gulf, not known as being a temperate place, they tend to lose power. These things are called Type 45 destroyers, and six of them, as a result of relentlessly hot and miserable temperatures in the Persian Gulf where they are deployed, well, their generators shut down. At least the front doesn't fall off. There was a Defense Committee hearing in Parliament 2 days ago. And Rolls-Royce director Thomas Leahy said, the equipment is having to operate in far more arduous conditions than were initially required. Well then. Over at BAE Systems Maritime, John Hudson said, the operating profile at the time was that there would not be repeated or continuous operations in the Gulf. See, it turns out the generators don't do a very good job of generating electricity, you know, power, the turbines, when they run in a blazing 120-degree environment. Thomas Leahy said, and this is when you get your total electrical failure. Suddenly, you've lost the main generator on your system and you're plunged into darkness. And you know what? Being plunged into darkness when you're below the waterline and a destroyer in the Persian Gulf can, I imagine, be more than a little bit harrowing. And It's no laughing matter. One wonders if the Persian Gulf has always been that consistently hot, or could that be part of the, oh my God, great big global colossal fraud, the greatest fraud ever perpetrated on the human race, according to Senator Jim Inhofe of Oklahoma, land of earthquakes, you know, known as climate change. Probably. But, I mean, maybe if we didn't need to constantly patrol the Persian Gulf, that problem wouldn't exist. And you wouldn't have some ordinary seaman, quit it, pervs, some ordinary seaman down in the bowels of a destroyer going, bloody hell! Power's out again. I guess Her Majesty didn't pay the bill. Nice, huh? And if it's happening to the British, you kind of wonder if it's happening to, you know, us too. Or is it that whole, you know, British manufacturing thing where, like, with if you had an MG, the saying was, if there was no oil on the floor, there was no oil in the car. You know. And then, turning our eyes back here toward, because I'm pretty much the only person who does this sort of thing, turning our gaze back here toward almost level West Bicol, Virginia, Stan, a couple of things. One, did you know that there are 3,500 lawsuits presently pending against DuPont? Didn't they? Are they still the E.I. DuPont de Nemours Corporation? DuPont. Yeah, there are 3,500 lawsuits against DuPont by people who say, you know what? We've gotten very, 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 very sick because DuPont dumped a whole bunch of stuff that they simply call C8. Into the Ohio River, which then, of course, wound up in people's drinking water. The lawsuits are filed by people in Ohio and West Virginia. C8, again, was used to make Teflon. We talked a little bit about this earlier. West Virginia had played host to a DuPont plant on the banks of the Ohio River. The first case has gone to trial. In that case, David Freeman of Washington County, age 56, says he got testicular cancer because of C8. C8 has been studied a little bit. Granted, it was studied after the fact, not before the fact, because they've been dumping C8 forever, DuPont has. And they really didn't bother to worry about, you know, act in profit, repent in leisure, and then holler that a place is a judicial hellhole and that it's unfair to impose damages, yada, yada, yada. Yeah, he says he got testicular cancer. And that's one of those things that's on a list that was put together by a panel of scientists who say there's a probable link between exposure to C8 and stuff like kidney cancer. And yes, testicular cancer. And, oh, by the way, thyroid disease. Here's why it's a case. DuPont knew about the likelihood that C8 was toxic. Going back to like 1954. You know, 6 years before David Freeman, aged 56 with testicular cancer, was even born. By 1961, DuPont was absolutely certain that C8 was toxic. That's why DuPont in, 2012 said, we think C8's not good for you, so stop drinking it, okay? Well, stop dumping it in the water, would you? Presently under appeal is a case of a woman who got cancer. The jurors gave her $1.6 million paltry dollars. Naturally, DuPont is appealing, saying, "You wait a minute. We're a corporation. We're American. A corporation. You can't enter a judgment against us because, I mean, really.
Corporations are people, my friend. Of course they are. Yeah, human beings, my friend.
Yeah. Because, see, we don't have anything like, the precautionary principle that says, hey, you got a chemical, you think it might be toxic, let's find out before you start dumping it on the ground and throwing it in major rivers and having it wind up in people's drinking water supply intakes. Could we do it? No, because that would be terrible for business. Never mind if it's terrible for David Freeman. It's terrible for business, and the good of the many outweighs the needs of the few or the one. And I have always been your friend, Jim Kirk. Obligatory Star Trek reference. 6:52 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. Brother Deacon Ace has already got it figured out. C8. Toxic? Well, see, Bob, they didn't account for his hillbilly lifestyle. That's how come he got the balls cancer. Yeah, he's probably had to do something with some consanguinity or something. Sure. A little background here, courtesy of Gerald. DuPont spun off its chemical division into a company called Chemour. Rumor is that it's failing. My guess is that the new company will have to file bankruptcy, of course, shedding all of its newly absorbed obligations to retirements and the like. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? Seems to be the new corporate norm. Patriot Coal, anybody? Merca. The greatest country in the world on the whole of, in the history of the universe forever. Amen. Under God. Wolverines. Which, if you consume enough C8, you might have steel blades that start extending from your hands, and you might turn into Wolverine. Cool. Better living through chemistry. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's just going to get funner and funner and funner. Mm-hmm. Hey, yeah, thank you very kindly to Steve from Georgistan and Karen. We now need only $240 to meet the evening and the rest of the week's goal, tomorrow being tomorrow and everything. $250 and we're good. $240 and we're good. And remember, there's a challenge on the table, courtesy of Billable Rick. The Thorazine Dart Thursday Challenge, which now has $65 to go. Being $50 from last week and a $25 late assessment. Thank you, Rick. And thank you, Steve. Marty pointing out, hell, with regard to the British destroyers, hell, I don't do well in that much heat either. Can we really expect any destroyer's main generator to do likewise? No, we really can't. Maybe that's a good reason not to be there. Nah, we can't do that. We gotta meddle all over the planet. Subject line, salt. Bob, dropping the load is such a common occurrence on a naval vessel, it's just a thing to be expected anywhere, anytime. I suspect that the British are having problems based upon power needs in general. All that machinery running, AC, AC, air conditioning, and numerous other daily drains on the system. I can't imagine what the overall energy requirements are now compared to the old tin cans we were sailing back in the day. But yeah, down below, you'd be surprised how stifling it can get just seconds after the power dies. As for the rest of it, billion-pound ships tend to get built with inadequate resources due to engineering and production snafus. But you don't want all that high-tech electronics anti-missile warfare stuff going offline, either. I guess they'll have to sweat it out. Not the admirals, of course. Oh, by Jove, no, not the admirals. Regards, Steve, member of the Trinity of Steves. In China. So there's that. Mm-hmm. But then, another thing, just because, you know, we're America's little lab rat. Things may get considerably ugly, like... I hate to do this to you, but... Anything? There. Oh, could it be? Glory. Do nothing now. Do nothing. You know that Alpha Natural Resources, that used to be Massey Energy, and back when they were in Massey Energy, they incinerated 29 human beings at the Upper Big Branch mine past the ability to recognize them as human beings. And they also have blown up mountains all over Appalachia, and gosh, they're doing it elsewhere too. Digging big toxic holes in the ground, that kind of thing. Well, they're in bankruptcy. And that is about to turn into one, speaking of what Gerald said a few minutes ago about, you know, file bankruptcy, shed all your obligations, etc. Mm-hmm. Well, when you do mountaintop removal, you have obligations that extend even past, retirees and pensions and health care and stuff like that. Oh, I remember when the Massey workers used to come out to our rallies and punch people in the kidneys and scream at us and yell at priests and just generally behave awfully. And they did it all because they'd been given a paid day off by their boss, Don Blankenship. Yeah. Well, Massey was bought by Alpha. And they paid a princely ransom for the company that the company was not worth. And then the bottom fell out of the front fell off. No, the bottom fell out of the coal market because of fracking. Not because of any wee, tiny, itsy, bitsy, half-measure, pissant regulations promulgated by the Obama administration, who have never to this day done a goddamn thing to try to save the people of Appalachia from the tender mercies of people like Alpha and their mountaintop removal practices. But, you know, shut up, Bob. So, if you want to do some mountaintop removal, there's this little thingy called the Surface Mine Control and Reclamation Act. And the Surface Mine Control and Reclamation Act says that you have to get bonded. You have to put up a bond of a significant amount of money to cover the costs of reclamation in case it turns out you're just like every other coal company and you go belly up and you dodge your legal responsibilities. Those bonds can get expensive. Hey, guess what? Merca. So the coal companies like Alpha didn't like the bonds. And they didn't like to actually have to set money aside that they could be giving to themselves and their directors and their shareholders. They didn't actually like to have to set money aside to clean up their godforsaken disastrous messes. So they looked at the regulators and they said, "Aw, come on, pretty please. I mean, coal keeps the lights on. Aw, don't make us bond these things." And you know what government said? "Poor baby. You should go to we love our little coal industry, sweet little thing, never did any harm at all." Chichibuka. I tell you what, Snookums, why don't we let you self-bond? Instead of going out there and having to buy a bond to cover and to clean up all your nasty, filthy, toxic, predatory mess, we'll just let you say that you promised to clean it up. Okay, Snookums, is that okay? And little Don Blankenship and little Kevin Crutchfield, they took their little fists and they rubbed at the corner of their eyes and they said, "I guess so. Jobs." Mm-hmm. Well, did I mention earlier that Alpha's now in bankruptcy? No, they are. Guess who's going to get corked? Yeah, right. We the people. Because while Alpha says, "Oh, well, we've set aside a buck and a quarter for reclamation costs," at this point, even the state of West Virginia is worrying. Yeah? The state of West Virginia has gone so far as to hire what the New York Times describes as a seasoned bankruptcy lawyer from New York who grew up in West Virginia to represent the Department of Environmental Protection. Oh, I laugh every time I read the word protection in Department of Environmental Protection. That's a real hoot. In Alpha's bankruptcy. That would be Kevin W. Barrett of Bailey and Glasser. He's a special assistant attorney general for West Virginia now. And he's out there making sure that Alpha does what it's supposed to. Here's where it gets fun. Bankruptcy is quite possibly the most Byzantine aspect of the law. And quite often, the corporate America will want bankruptcy reform, and they'll find themselves a handful of legislators, actually a majority, who am I kidding, who will sign off on giving them a break and really sticking the shaft to ordinary working Americans. Hillary Clinton. And so, having gone into bankruptcy, Alpha has put their debt up for sale. And the debt has been purchased, and the people who purchased the debt are called first lien holders. In other words, they get paid before anybody else ever gets paid, including, you know, cleaning up the mess, the toxic, murderous, filthy mess that the coal industry makes with their mountaintop removal operations. And then, because you don't just want to let people know who the first lien holders are, because, secret, they get an agent. And we're not talking about, you know, a trench coat and a metal hat or anything, or knives in boots. We're talking about a great big honking bank, in this case, Citicorp. The first lien holders hired Citicorp to be their agent. And they're the people, and Citicorp in turn, if anybody says, hey, who do you represent? Dunno. None of your business. Go away. Quit asking questions. These are not the first lien holders you're looking for. Well, a Special Assistant Attorney General Barrett dropped a subpoena on Citicorp, and unlike Mr. Hogwout, they did respond. Citicorp did. Just not very quickly. About a month after the subpoena was dropped on him, Citicorp responded. And guess what? According to the New York Times article, it read like a who's who of leading investment firms, including two big hedge funds, Highbridge Capital Management, and a unit of Davidson Kempner. So then Barrett subpoenaed them and asked what plans they had to clean up Massey's mess in West Virginia. To which, one can imagine, the hedge funds promptly responded, fuck off! So, dig. Alpha has reclamation and water treatment problems in Illinois, Kentucky, Tennessee, Virginia, and West Virginia. That's five. Now, these are operations that cover hundreds, if not thousands, of acres. And if we take just a simple arithmetic mean of the money that Alpha claims to have set aside for reclamation as divided by the number of states, it works out to about $40 million per state. That is what we call here in the hills, not a drop in the bucket. And here's what's worse. Of that $209 million, you know how Alpha doesn't actually have $209 million. Alpha says someday it hopes to have $209 million. That's why they've got extant permits, for instance, permit applications on Coal River Mountain down there across the road from the headquarters of Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. Across from Coal River Mountain Watch and next to the largest dam in the Western Hemisphere, the Brushy Fork Impoundment, which is made out of dirt and rocks and sits atop a whole bunch of old coal mines that are already underground full of water, exerting tremendous hydrologic pressure. And on top of that, there's tremendous hydrologic pressure from some 7 billion gallons of toxic waste sitting behind the said largest dam in the Western Hemisphere, which leaks. They blast near that. And Alpha needs to be able to blow the bejesus out of that mountain to pay for another mountain. Okay, look at it this way. Alpha says, in order to clean up mountaintop removal site A, we need to blow up mountain B. And then in order to clean up mountain B, we need to blow up mountain C. And after we've completely fucked the environment and everybody who lives near it and in it at mountain C, we need to blow up mountain D to clean up mountain C. A, B, and C will never be adequately reclaimed because they don't do that, and less than 3% of all mountaintop removal sites in Appalachia have ever actually been reclaimed within the meaning of the law. Here's where the question gets interesting. If you blow up mountain Z for Z to clean up mountain Y for Yankee, which you blew up so that you could clean up mountain X for X-ray, what do you blow up to clean up mountain Z? Because you're out of mountains. Ooh. See how it happened? Oh, that. And I guess I just don't trust those sweet little, innocent little coal companies. New York Times says, many hedge funds bought the coal industry's debt, which totaled roughly $50 billion in 2014, at a discount, and stand to profit if the value of their bonds increases. Many of these debt holders have liens on the company's operating cash and other assets, often giving them tremendous sway over how the money gets spent. One lawyer out in Wyoming at the Powder River Basin Resource Council said, the lenders are in the driver's seat. I'd say. And then Peter Morgan, a lawyer for the Sierra Club, which has filed legal objections to Alpha's plan, said, bankruptcy courts need to hold strong and not let financial institutions pocket the money and leave a huge part of Appalachia out to dry. Oh, you tell them, Sierra Club. Oh, you'll give them such a talking to, won't you? Yeah, as Gerald points out, the whole bond situation for mining reclamation, just why in the hell do we think we required that bond in the first place? The people of this country sure do have short memories. Oh, yes, we do, to the point of not having any memories at all. Meanwhile, here in almost level West by Coal, Virginia, Stan, Alpha plans to buy bonds. Buy bonds! Or what's described as other collateral. Rocks? Magic beans? So that it will replace most of its $240 million in self-bonds. Remember the self-bonding we were talking about? Yeah. But there's a catch. There's always a catch. God almighty. $100 million will remain self-bonded because they're being allowed to do that because of Mountain Z. Now, one last thing. Yes, there's lots of hedge funds. But lots of hedge funds are in on this. Do you remember a few weeks back when you probably all got very, very tired of me talking about the reason that no one was talking about mountaintop removal during the West Virginia primary was because there was no way that Hillary Clinton could do that? You remember me mentioning that it was easy to get wrought and worked up about the poisoning in Flint because that was just a bunch of goddamn Republican mean-spirited nastiness. And so it would be easy to oh, damn you. Oh, the governor should resign. Oh, some bitch. But when it came to talking about a whole lot of poisoned people in West Virginia, she was as quiet as a graven image. I wish I had more research skills. I wish I had more time. Because it might be interesting to find out, see, how much money outfits like Citicorp or Highbridge Capital Management or Davidson Kempner or any of the other boatload of hedge funds on that list, it'd be interesting to find out how many of those gave money to Dr. First Lady Senator Secretary Clinton. Because then we'd have a pretty good goddamned idea why we can't seem to get much done in the way of protecting innocent people. Who get in the way. Of the profit motive. See what I mean? 17 minutes past the hour, I have over filibobstered. But it is well past time that we fire up the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable that is the Friday on the Front Porch Horn Malloy Skype Skype chat group, which is doing the front porch thing tonight. Again, with me not being here tomorrow, it's rather urgent that we raise the whole $250 we got remaining to stay out of a bind. We got 240 of that to go, and a $75 challenge on the table. Note coming in from Ron. Ron says, I'm getting you 5x5 in slightly warmer eastern Ontario. A query, what do you expect the fallout to be from the en banc Second Amendment decision from the Ninth Circuit? I predict, one, a humongous amount of outraged rhetoric, two, numerous states getting on board to support the inevitable Californicating appeals to the Supreme Court, and three, a 4-4 split court declining to deal with an appeal. Am I correct in believing that this might have an impact outside of California? It could indeed. And given the amount of time that it takes, unless they fast-track it, to get all the way there, it might actually get heard by a full court. Because, see, the court has ruled in California that there is no constitutional right to conceal a firearm or carry a concealed firearm. That probably means that someone will file a similar suit in another one of the circuits that hopefully, or what they hope, the NRA, for instance, is that the other circuit will come down differently, say maybe down in, you know, the Fifth Circuit or the 11th, and then you'll have a split in the circuits, and that guarantees it'll be accepted by the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court will deal with it. And but the Supreme Court, with briefing schedule, it probably won't get it until after the election and after even after the inauguration. After the inauguration, you know, after the House of Representatives has already instituted impeachment proceedings against Dr. First Lady Senator Secretary Clinton, Henry Kissinger's Christmas break buddy. Sorry, not going to let go of that one. There will be, though, as Ron predicts, a tremendous hue and cry Note coming in from Scott in San Diego. I take this to mean that he won't be participating in the front porch. He says, I'm hopped up on OTC cold remedies, over the counter, but at least Punky isn't being bounced around on my shoulder from my continual coughing. Remember, friends, it's not the cough that carries you off, it's the coffin that carry you often. And I've even got a picture of Punky here. And Punky looks like the absolutely fine, fine young cockatiel that I thought he was. So again, we'll take a break. Announcement about the stress line. That's going to have to be something I work on over the weekend. I have no idea what's gotten wrong with the box that makes the gizmo that makes the stress line work. The phone is not talking to the box, and the box is not talking to the phone. And apparently they're at odds with each other, and I won't be able to do anything about that until I spend all day Sunday working on it. So that's out of the loop for this particular front porch conversation. All right, break time. Jump on into the Horn Malloy Skype chat group, and we'll get the Extraordinary Ordinary roundtable going. This is listener-supported conversation radio. This is The Horn, and I'm Bob Kincaid.
Today you blasted near my street, and my house cracked at my feet. I can't help it if my home is in your way. Politicians by your side, they look so satisfied. I can't help it if my home is in your way. Promises you made amount to stealing. As a giant rock lands on my Chevrolet, suddenly I got that lawsuit feeling. I can't help it if my home is in your way. Know that the sheriff's lips will kiss you. Now, where they kiss you, I can't say. We're asking for a big injunction issue. We can't help it if our homes are in your way. No, we can't help it if our homes are in your way.
From an album now of many years back, and it's a dandy all the way through, Moving Mountains, Voices of Appalachia. I can't help it if my home is in your way. Come on. No, I guess not. Well, nonetheless, let's run over to the Horn Malloy Skype chat group where longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran Horn Malloy Skype chat group moderator Sparky has things well under control. Good evening, Sparky.
Good evening. It sounds louder when you're banging on that thing in Skype than over the air.
That's probably because of the way the sends are set up. But yeah, damn it, it's frustrating as all get out.
Mm-hmm.
So, too many fans outside the man cave this afternoon, was it?
Yeah, I got another smaller fan pointing at me. It's not that hot as I thought it would be out there today. I just checked the temperature a while ago, and it hasn't gone over. It's only 80 something.
Yeah, but 85, still, it's not necessarily good for you to sweat off 10 or 15 pounds just to run the Skype chat group.
Oh, I wouldn't be sweating. I mean, you know, with the fans on. But the view's a lot better out there. I got the move. I got the black moving lawnmowers out and back again.
Moo, y'all. Moo.
There's about 30 of them from a rough count. There's a few in another field. So I don't know why they got segregated.
Yeah, what we refer to here as slow elk. Moo, tasty.
Well, these are grass-fed Angus beef.
Yum, yum, under tooled leather. Oh, we've got a good little, looks like we've got the makings of a good little group this evening, Sparky.
Tim's not going to be talking, though. He said he was in a class, so he's listening.
Oh, okay.
Somehow through earbuds or something else. I don't know. And then we got Steve from Georgia staying with us, but he says he has a little stage fright.
He'll get over it. We'll.
And I told him we don't bite.
We just, you know, we put you through the secret initiation. You have to ride the goat, and then. But you know, anybody who uses an early Kyler avatar has got to have something on the ball. So.
And then there's Rick with his.
Yeah, it's hat night.
Red hat.
Yeah, Rick brought his Make Donald Drumpf Again hat. And
hey, I'm back, guys.
Hey, Rick.
That's a cool hat, huh?
Yeah, I love your hat.
Yeah, I actually ordered a Make America Great Again hat, and the printers made an error. They put down, you know, make Trump Drumpf Again. So just a couple of words off. They almost got it right. Well, yeah, I've got a whole line of sayings that I'm thinking of putting on T-shirts about Trump, you know? So.
Such fun.
Oh, there's going to be an industry out there.
Oh, God, yeah. Oh, yeah. 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 I mean, like, things like, you know, America is already great.
Well, you know, at least
Peter Lago, Mussolini.
Unlike the French, you understand the meaning of the word entrepreneur.
Yeah, right.
I see there's already a Hillary bumper sticker, Republicans for Hillary out there.
Oh, really?
I should get one. That'd go over big in my county.
Yeah, they'd probably love it so much they'd slash your tires for you.
And key your car as well.
Well, I see. Maybe I was wrong about Scott being under the weather. I see Scott's with us this evening.
Oh, yeah, I'm here. I just I was sending you that photo of Punky and me just simply to show you how hopped up a human being can get on over-the-counter cold remedies.
Half out of your mind on cheap cough syrup.
Yeah, I'm telling you. I landed on a different combination of ingredients last night and had the first uninterrupted night of restful sleep in at least a week. I'm telling you, the only saving grace in this entire enterprise is that I gave up cigarettes almost 20 years ago. I would be dead if I were still a smoker dancing with this cold. I'm telling you, I've never had one quite this tenacious.
Wow. It's not the Zika, is it?
No, but, you know, I had an interesting thought. The morning routine around here is Punky will fly over and sit on my shoulder while I'm drinking coffee and checking emails and stuff like that. And occasionally he'll take it upon his little birdie self to sneeze. And I wonder if perhaps I was too close when he had one of his little cockatiel sneezes and picked up some sort of, you know, dread bird virus, for God's sake.
Well, I mean, he hasn't been hanging out anywhere seedy, has he? Get it? Bird, seed, ah, see what I did there?
No, he's a good little bird. He used to have a mate, but hell, she died back in 2003, I think it was.
So he lost his chick then?
Yeah, and occasionally he'll try to hump my hand, but I discourage that simply because it's just, I mean, I'm pretty open-minded, but that's too kinky even for me.
Yeah, somehow, hey, stop that. Right. Yeah. Back to the bathroom
Get him a blow-up bird toy.
Well, his claws would probably pop it, but I lost my inflatable woman some years ago. I had filled her with helium so we could try new positions, and she drifted out an open window and was later shot down over Minot, North Dakota, over restricted airspace. It was in all the papers. I'm sure you read about it.
Oh, I thought you were going to say that you went to give her a love bite on your neck and bit too hard, and she flew out the window.
Yeah, flew backwards around the room for 18 seconds, and that was it. What a horrible end.
Well, I have a piece of advice for you, Scott, courtesy of Ron in the vaguely warming north. Scott better hope he never runs across camel fever. That shit's vicious.
Oh, yeah, I heard him talking about that on a call not long ago.
It laid Ron low. You don't want it. And what you have to do to a camel, I don't want to know. But I don't think you can walk around with a camel sneezing on your shoulder.
No, not easily, anyway.
But they do spit, you know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, camels do spit. As I understand it, I'm not big on nature shows on TV, but they are rather foul-mannered, foul-tempered creatures.
I would say that is probably an apt description, to say the least.
And they're a nasty cigarette, too. I don't know if you've ever smoked an unfiltered camel.
Oh, yes.
Oh, Lord.
I can get through about a half of one of those, and that sucker's got to go to the ashtray.
Well, you can have an out-of-body experience if you're not used to smoking things like that.
Hey, would you guys walk a mile to have a camel?
Depends on how long since the previous one.
Yeah, there you go.
I remember spending 9 hours on a transatlantic flight, and by the time I arrived, I knew like I was born speaking the language, how to ask the first available Frenchman, "Where's the smoking section?" It's a terrible addiction.
Oh, yeah, I was hooked for many years and finally came to my senses and quit, but it is rough. And, you know, the interesting thing about that, for years, the tobacco industry had its own little little PR thing going where they wouldn't deny the science, they would only question the science or say that there wasn't enough science.
Yeah, teach the controversy. It's the same. Yeah. It's the same method that's used with regard to climate change, and I'm sure it's the same method that DuPont is using in the C8 litigation.
Well, and it's not only the same method. One of the big PR firms that was in the tobacco industry's corner for many decades was Hill & Knowlton, and if you look them up online, now their biggest clients are anti-climate change. Well, I should say climate change deniers, the fracking industry. So they've just taken they've pitched their tent in friendlier climes, since no upstanding person can possibly defend tobacco smoking in today's world. They have to go where the money is with some other supposed controversy.
But
I've got a quick Hill & Knowlton story if I could interject.
Oh, jump right in, Rick.
Yeah. My girlfriend, like, geez, probably 30 years ago, she had a friend who was a law school classmate of hers who actually clerked one summer at Hill & Knowlton. And this is sometime in the 80s when they were working on, you know, trying to beat back the tobacco lawsuits and so forth and, you know, void responsibility for that. But the lady who clerked, I think her name was Linda, she was a smoker herself. She smoked like a chimney as well. So I guess she fit in perfectly well at Hill & Knowlton. But you know, they're kind of known as being the about the sleaziest attorneys you can find in Washington, D.C. Very high-powered, though.
I thought they were a PR firm.
Well, yeah, I think they have a legal firm, too. Maybe they are just a PR firm. I think they had lawyers working for them, though.
Well, you'd almost sure have to. You'd have to negotiate regulatory schemes. And
yeah, they have lobbyists. I mean, the lobbyists are almost always lawyers, as
well,
you know,
I mean,
Bob.
Consider what we learned here in the struggle against mountaintop removal. The National Mining Association had an outfit called, oh, damn, what was their name? Well, they had a silk stocking Washington law firm on speed dial, who wrote up the critique of the birth defect study and said that the birth defect study was invalid because it didn't take into account all the hillbillies running around hollering, "You're my sister, you're my sister."
Jeez.
And I'll come up with their name probably at about 3 o'clock this morning.
Well, I was going to mention one of the best pieces of literature on the tobacco industry and the entire history of tobacco in this country was from a couple of years ago. The author's last name was Proctor, and the name of the book is Golden Holocaust. And it's a hellacious big book. It's like 800 pages. But if you can wade through it, you will learn everything there is available to know about just how insidious these PR firms and these law firms and the bought and paid for members of Congress were in keeping out of public knowledge and public discourse the dangers of tobacco use. And it's just an incredible story. And like I say, they can't defend tobacco use anymore, they being Hill & Knowlton and other PR firms and law firms. So they just go with fracking or denying climate change or whatever the supposed controversy is, even though there is no controversy. If you have a couple of viable brain cells to rub together and are a halfway thinking,
Hello.
Reasonable person.
Hey, something just occurred to me. Have you guys seen the movie Thank You for Smoking?
Oh, yeah. I saw that.
That is hilarious in terms of how they basically, you know, pump that guy full of nicotine and almost kill him. the lobbyist for Big Tobacco.
Yeah.
That's kind of what that reminds me of, because I think at the end of that movie, they basically had realized that the jig was basically up with regard to, you know, denying the fact that tobacco is harmful. So they were looking for their next scam to move on to. And I don't know if they mentioned climate change or what they did, but, you know, it was something. I forget what it was. So that's actually a very well done movie.
Hey, good evening, Trey. I just saw you pop in there.
Well, hello. I guess I'm doing this right.
We don't do video.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you can turn your camera off.
We're radio
people. How do I do that?
We have radio faces, Trey.
Well, I'm not very attractive either. Sorry about that.
Video's still on.
How do you turn it off?
You're on a mobile phone?
Yes.
I wouldn't know how your app would work. Maybe Tim could help you. If we could talk.
Let's see.
Because I know you guys don't want to look at my ugly mug the last of the night.
Put the video camera.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it should put a slash across it.
There it goes.
There's it. Is it gone?
Yes. No, it's back on. Click it again. Just one time.
Okay. Clicked it.
Not working, Jim.
Oh.
Oh boy. I don't want this to be the theme of the night.
Don't worry about it.
we can ignore your video.
Just ignore me. I look awful down here. That's terrible. I'm in my basement. I'm hiding from all my wife and kids. So if you hear a bunch of noise, that's all it is.
Hill & Knowlton. I thought I heard that name before. Remember Naira's testimony? the daughter of the Kuwaiti ambassador.
Yes.
How's that?
You're right, Tim. You're there right.
Yeah.
That worked.
There you go.
There.
There you go.
All right.
That was Hill and Knowlton.
Yes, that was. That was. The babies being left in the, taken out of the incubators or whatever. Yeah. That
flung out
scam.
Flung out of 30-story buildings. And yeah.
I had forgotten about that, but you're absolutely right. Back yeah. in the run-up to the first Gulf War, boy, that seems like so much, so long ago, such innocent times. And it was nothing more really than a prelude to Bush and Cheney's misadventures in the 21st century in Iraq. Jesus.
Yeah.
And, well, yeah, we thought that all of our yeah. ongoing misadventures.
Mm-hmm. Man, what a disaster that was. Hey, Bob, Steve from Georgistan. What's going on?
Hey, what's happening, Steve? Good to have you in the group.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate you guys, man.
Hey, Steve, this is Trey from Kentucky, Stan. Good to
hey,
hear from
Trey.
You.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you've been taking a beating for backing Shillery. I don't want
yeah, to. Yeah, I know. That's all right.
Yeah, I don't want
to. If we got Charlie from Tennistan, we'd have a straight line from West Virginia to Georgia.
I don't want to do it, but I can't concede the SCOTUS to these thugs. I just can't, man. I can't be a part of that.
Well, if we do concede SCOTUS to the Republicans, the right wingers, then you know it's going to be like another 35 years before we have the same
exactly.
chance to have a court like the Warren Court was, for example. You know, where civil liberties actually counted.
Just for purposes of clarity. Are we assuming that somehow or another the stars are going to align and the planets are going to be and we're going to get an actual filibuster proof majority in the Senate?
Bob, they're going to get rid of if the Democrats take the Senate, they'd be idiots if they don't change the Senate rules right at the beginning. To totally eliminate the filibuster, or at least as to all judicial appointments.
Exactly.
I want to be clear here. You said they would be complete and total idiots if they did not do that?
Exactly.
And you think they're what?
Well, I'm not saying they're smart, but but I think this experience with Merrick Garland, I mean, this guy's never going to have a hearing. Unless, the Republicans convince the Democrats, if Hillary should win in the fall, to have, to appoint the guy in a lame duck session or confirm him in a lame duck session.
Well, the question that I have on that is, didn't Harry Reid do something? Like, he didn't go, all the way nuclear to the last time they got rid of the filibuster?
Well, what he did is he got rid of the filibuster for ordinary garden variety, boring judicial appointees. But somehow or another, and I don't fully understand the mechanics of this, senators can still put blocks on nominees that aren't filibusters?
They do is it a pink slip or whatever it's called? I forget what it's called. It's like a
Well, isn't Mitch McConnell the same guy that at one time just wanted to do an up and down vote, like during the Bush era?
Oh, they all said that back when they were out of
power.
Okay. Yeah, and he wrote a law review article in which he said that, the whole meaning of advise and consent means that, the Senate has to at least consider, a nominee, has to put it to an up or down vote. And, of course, now he's backtracked from that.
Have you guys seen the video of Elizabeth Warren just giving McConnell hell on the floor?
Oh yeah,
in his speech.
Yeah. I think it's hilarious that you have these constitutional guys that walk around with the Constitution in their pocket. They say, and they won't even budge on this Supreme Court guy.
Well, no matter how we dice this, I think Hillary will pick more progressive SCOTUS appointees than T. Rump, and that's why I got to vote my conscience on this thing.
And in Georgia, I mean, T. Rump is so toxic to so many people that he might even put Georgia in play electorally.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Wow, I never thought I'd hear today that Georgia would be in play for the Democrats. I'm only 40, guys, so I'm not.
I'm not all the way there. I don't expect her to carry any southern state except perhaps Virginia.
It's possible, but not likely.
Yeah.
Well, I got something for you. You guys did hear that our U.S. Senate seat, you know, Bob Boxer's retiring.
Mm-hmm.
The primary. We'll have two Democrats in the general election to run off.
Yeah. Yeah, Kamala Harris and Loretta Sanchez. I voted for Sanchez because I think she's more progressive, but I think she finished, like, what, 25 points behind Kamala or something like that? I don't really know. I haven't seen the final results.
The Republicans shot themselves in the foot. They had three people running.
Oh, geez. Well, actually, no, there were 34 people. In fact, I brought the statements of the senatorial candidates with me. I'll have to read through. There's some really funny shit in there. I'll have to read it aloud.
No, I didn't even count it.
Oh, yeah.
I just looked at that and went, oh, my God, how many people are on this thing?
Although, you know who didn't run this year is Mary Carey, who ran for the special gubernatorial race after the Gray Davis recall election, where the Arnold won it. Yeah, Mary Carey didn't run this time. She's a porn star, for all, you know, just in case you want to know who she is.
That's an adult film actress. Come on, guys, let's get that right.
It was hard to remember who was running in that stupid recall thing.
There were like 200 people, I think, that were running, and they actually couldn't even fit everybody in the same camera frame when they had like a debate.
But T. Rump released a list of potential SCOTUS nominees that he would put forth, and man, they were just right off the charts, and I mean right.
Oh, David Pryor.
It's ridiculous, man.
Yeah.
David Pryor.
One of them was King's brother or something. What's that one guy's name? Not the guy from Utah.
I'll see if I can find the list and post it.
Yeah, it was just awful. It was like people that were like, really?
The one that jumped out at me was Pryor, who once used to go cruising for man love.
Oh, that's right.
And posted naked pictures of himself.
That's funny how those conservative Republicans like to do that.
They must really hate themselves, you know, because there's so much duality in terms of, you know, how they really are versus how they portray themselves to be. And they rail against the part of them that they hate. So, I mean, how do people like that live with themselves, you know? I don't get that.
I guess when those donor checks are rolling in, it really don't matter, I guess, for them.
Yeah, right. Yeah, you know, and they still have their, you know, their page boys on the side or whatever if they need it, you know?
That's very true. Yeah.
While they rail against it, you know?
It's just you and me. I can't hear anybody else. Is anybody else out there?
Oh, we're all here.
Okay.
We're just very polite, not over-talking each other as a well-developed art in the Horn Malloy Skype chat group.
I'm sorry. I'm not very good at that yet, so I'll try to get better.
Yeah, well.
You're doing fine.
Back in the old days, we might have, on a Friday night, we might have 20 people in the group, so. Not with Bob, or late night Friday night.
Bob, are you feeling any better? I was thinking about you earlier today.
Yeah, mostly, yeah. Although I think I'm just having to learn. I'm learning things not to do to my gut, like gas station pizza, and things like that.
I think there could be an Appalachian crud going around too, Bob.
I wouldn't be surprised. There has been, and that could be part of it, but. Oh, my guts.
I see my doctor today, and she encouraged me to give up gluten. That's going to be difficult, but, you know, I'll give it a try.
Really? Gluten?
Yeah.
Isn't gluten like in everything?
Everything, yeah. Anything bread. When you go to a restaurant, you just say, don't bring me any bread, please.
And what's the living for? Yeah, I know.
Yeah, I know. It sucks, but it is what it is.
Oh, by the way, let me ask, has anybody given any further ponderance to Jay Cruzan's challenge? It would sure be nice to fulfill it. And he said it was there in perpetuity, but apart from it was $10 an idea, up to $200 for anybody who could give him a reason to vote for Hillary that wasn't because Trump, and then there was this long list. She Bakes Cookies came out last night, and that wasn't on the list, but it's out there, and it would be, you know, like I said, it would be, it'd be kind of cool to collect on that, because, you know, we got $240 to go this evening, and thank you, Steve, for getting us started. But it was, I mean, it's one of the more interesting and arguably unfulfillable challenges out there.
I do have a question on the contributing to the, is that something that has to be done only during the show times, or can I like go there throughout the day and do
it? Any time, day or night. I mean, okay. You know, people who listen to podcasts, that kind of thing. Yeah.
PayPal works 24 hours a day.
All over the planet.
So how do you think that the Republican nominee, as you could tell, I don't ever like to use his name. You think he'll even make it to the convention?
Who, Trump?
What, do you think he's going to get lost on the way?
Well, I mean, I don't know. I'm just saying there's a lot. So I've heard a couple of stories that you know, the Republicans are behind the scenes trying to figure out a way to make sure he doesn't get it, or just figure out
a way to get rid of it. He's going to make it, man. He's going to make it.
Now there is talk that they're trying to figure out a way at the convention to deny him the nomination. But my God, there would be blood in the streets. I mean,
goodness.
We're not talking
that there would just be chaos, you know.
I mean, we're not talking about nice people, Trump followers.
Let's put on our libertarian fantasy world hats and let's just say they decide to say no to him. What do you think happens?
Like Bob said, blood in the streets.
Wild in the streets, man.
Atonal music. I mean,
total anarchy?
Yeah, Katie closed the barn door.
Cleveland and
the Republican, right?
Yes. Cleveland would have to activate the National Guard or something.
Cleveland. It'd be all over the country.
I mean, can't they just, like, nominate an empty suit like they do every 4 years anyway? What's the big difference?
Because Kasich says he's not going to support him.
Mm. I thought for the longest time Paul Ryan was trying to line himself up to get that nomination at the convention, but I don't know now.
I kind of think that the Republicans have basically painted themselves into a corner. And they're just going to have to swallow hard and deal with it. No, I'm serious. It's that old saying, you buttered your bread, now sleep in it.
Yeah, I thought,
being I think you're right.
That's what Mama always said to me.
Yep. Yeah. But no, really, I mean, Trump is a monster of their own creation. And if they didn't see him coming, then... are these really the people we want leading the country and the Congress or anything else for that matter? I mean, the notion of an elephant, if you've ever been to the circus, back when the circus had elephants, you have a row of elephants tied to one another, trunk to tail, and they follow one another around and just lumber their way through the proceedings. And it's all a mindless exercise. And if people can't see through that, then I don't know what else to say, because they've created this monster and they're going to have to bloody well live with him unless they can figure out a way to get rid of him.
Well, you remember
maybe they could hire the mafia to knock him off.
You remember when Mittens came back a few months ago and just screamed bloody murder about him, and it didn't do a damn bit of good.
No.
Yeah, I remember too. He was the original birther. Remember? I think he still has people in Hawaii searching down his birth certificate.
As long as Trump's paying the bar tab, they're still there.
Well, you know, yep. I think those investigators. I think those investigators are working hand in hand with the ones that OJ hired to find the real killers of Ron and Nicole.
Oh, they're still looking too. You're right.
Yeah, yeah. But I wouldn't hold your breath on the results of that one.
Do you think that the Republican nominee will debate Hillary at all, or whoever the nominee is for the Democratic side? Or you think he'll debate at all, or he?
No. Have to. It's pretty much become an institution. Every election since the Kennedy Nixon election, there've been debates, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I don't see how they possibly duck out of that.
No, they can't duck out of that. They got to do it.
Okay.
Well, there were no debates in '64 between Johnson and Goldwater, and none in '68.
Okay.
And none in '72, and then it didn't really pick up in the modern era since.
Carter and Ford 70, debate?
Yeah, '76 was the first time in modern days, and there have always been debates since. But I wouldn't put it past Trump to cop out, just like he did with Bernie.
Well, maybe he could do like a fundraising effort for the veterans instead of the debate with Hillary, you know?
Yeah, like that one.
Just maybe between Hillary and Gary Johnson and Jill Stein.
that one.
He ran away from Megyn Kelly.
Yeah.
Did anybody have
blood was coming out of who knows what parts of her, you know? Come on, guys.
That's true. Did anybody catch that libertarian debate sideshow freak show that was over a couple weekends ago? Did anybody catch any of those guys?
Oh yeah, yeah. On C-SPAN, that was that one guy got up and did a strip, striptease.
Yeah. The guy that got stripped down to his underwear.
Yeah,
I didn't know what was going on.
Do what?
A circus. That was
yes, indeed. Look it up.
Did he have the brown acid before the debate started, by chance?
I don't know, but I wish I had some of that acid, because that guy went all the way down to his skivvies. I didn't know. I thought it was a joke.
It dosed me up, man.
Strip libertarians?
Oh, it was bad, Bob. It was really bad.
See that, Bob? That was off the charts, bro.
Yeah, you can probably find it on C-SPAN, because it aired a couple of weeks ago, about two or three weekends ago.
I always like watching libertarians trip over themselves when you ask them about the Civil Rights Act. They don't know how to answer the question. They just tumble over themselves.
Well, the classic answer being Rand Paul to Rachel Maddow. Oh, I think the free market would have taken care of things, eventually. Because that's the same answer they give about slavery. Ah, you know, we didn't need the Civil War. The free market would have eventually eliminated slavery. Oh, by the way, just to go back to this a minute, because, you know, like I said, we got $240 in fundraising to go. And I want to... Here's the nature of the challenge from Jay Cruzan. Oh, by the way, Devin points out that must have been the libertarians on bath salts debate.
I like that, bath salts.
Were any faces chewed off in that process or not?
Yeah.
What happened to
Okay, so here's the nature of the challenge. You can't use the Supreme Court, and I will put up $10 for every reason somebody has for me to vote for Hillary, excluding the Supreme Court, Donald Trump, fascism taking over, the DNC not getting seats in the House, and just so we can say we voted for her when she gets nothing done. Well, I got one.
Health care. You'll keep your health care.
Okay, that's two. Okay, she'll veto any.
Do I get $10?
No.
Is that $10 for me?
No, that's not $10 for you. It's $10 to keep the horn going. God damn it.
I know. For you, I'm sorry. I apologize.
I mean, I think you do, but I mean, Jay Cruzan is ultimately the judge here. So we got that. How about, okay, so she'll veto any attempt to repeal the Affordable Care Act, which dovetails with I'll get to keep my health care, and so will millions of other Americans. And how about this? She'll veto their stupid Planned Parenthood bills.
Yes. That's a good one.
Yeah.
And so we got four rock solid ones now. She bakes cookies.
Yeah.
Whoa, what? Oh yeah.
Yeah, she bakes cookies. She'll veto Planned Parenthood defunding. She'll veto Obamacare repeals. And it will mean we will never have to deal with another Clinton running for president for at least a generation. That's four.
That's awesome. Okay.
Those are good. Can we keep going?
She doesn't want to piss off Cecile Richards after they endorsed her.
Right.
Well, my only issue with this challenge is how conditional it is. The last time I saw anything quite this conditional was when I read the fine print of an insurance policy issued by the company owned by the big Nixon supporter, W. Clement Stone, back in the 60s. His life insurance policies were a work of art in terms of their conditionality. In other words, the policy would pay off if you were killed after being struck by lightning. As a horse went by, pulling a wagon on Michigan Avenue in Chicago between the hours of 1 and 3 Central Time in the afternoon. And it's like, I mean, he's free to contribute in any way he wants, but, and I get the message behind what he's saying, but it's like, you know, either support the show or don't. I mean, come on. I mean, that's just me.
Scott, don't worry. We'll make him pay off. Don't worry.
He'll pay off. I got one. I don't think she will do anything to Social Security. I don't think she will go after it. There won't be no grand bargain. Social Security is safe. No?
This dovetails into the Planned Parenthood, but how about no more women being probed? You know, for...
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's on a no. That's a state level. It won't work
because I did read, because
transvaginalism is a big thing out in the blood red states.
I'm not entirely sure.
It's hideous and barbaric, though it is.
I'm not entirely sure that Social Security is safe, in the sense that, you know, back in the 90s, we all thought that welfare was relatively safe. And we saw how that worked out under a Clinton regime. And, you know, given her ties to Wall Street and given the fact that she's been so reticent.
Scott, you're killing me.
But yeah, but now.
We're trying to come remember. Up with reasons for Jay Cruz.
This is good reasons. My God.
We were doing so well. It's 10 well, bucks. It's 10 bucks a reason, Scott.
Okay.
Good Lord. I think we're minus 20 now.
I'm sorry. It's the cold medicine talking. It's not me. It's this goddamned over-the-counter cold cheap cough syrup talking. And
I thought I was listening to Bob Kincaid.
Okay, here's one.
Oh, I'm sorry, Bob.
Here's the reason. She's going to name the first Hispanic vice president, either Bill Richardson or one of the, is it the Castro brothers?
Yeah, that one won't fly because that's subjective.
Wow. So not, oh, okay. Okay, I got it. Okay.
She's not gonna.
So I guess Social Security doesn't count. People think that she's still gonna mess with Social Security.
I'm counting Social Security.
Okay. Okay.
But Jay Cruzan judges it.
I understand. I know.
Well, I was just saying, I don't know if she will or won't in terms of Social Security. I'm just thinking that every time we have thought in the past that something was safe, it didn't necessarily play out that way. You know, just kind of a heads up in the sense that, you know, with the Clintons, you just never really know.
Hey, here's one. She's not going to build a wall between us and Mexico.
Oh, no, that's no. J. Cruz is going
to
say that.
Oh, he's not gonna, he can eat that one. You should give that to him.
No, because he already did that last night. That's because Trump.
Okay. That's a negative thing.
Okay, I will say this. There will be no XL pipeline. I know it's going on a limb, but I'm just going to say it.
I don't know. He can probably get out of that one, I think, Trey.
I'm just, you know.
It's worth a shot, though.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, she opposes Keystone XL now.
Right.
Did anybody notice she said she would go after Wall Street within the next first 100 days of her administration?
How's she going to do that without Congress?
Rein in or whatever she was. I saw it. Flash it with the wires. She said it.
She did say that. I also did see where they did pass some more of those payday loan kind of laws. They passed a couple more, I guess, new laws that passed.
I think that's the Consumer Financial Protection Board that's issued a regulation prohibiting those.
Oh, what? Okay.
It's not the same thing as Bernie, but how about she supports free tuition to community college?
So let me hold
that's,
on this.
That's Obama's plan.
Is basically what Hillary is saying, isn't that basically the plan that's already in place now?
That's the one Obama wants.
Okay, I just didn't know because...
Congress hasn't done anything.
Because when you hear Hillary's plan and you look at it and you read it, it's still, to me, it looks just the same way it's going now. I don't know, maybe I'm wrong. I'm not very smart,
you're entirely correct, Trey. I mean, without a Congress in the same hands as the party of the president, not much is going to get done, especially in this day and age where, you know, the politics have become so polarized and the Republicans have become so, you know, stubborn and intransigent and, you know, really the party of no. They don't stand for anything. That's part of the reason why they're having difficulty getting united, because, you know, they don't know what the hell they want to do. They just want the office, but they don't have a reason why they want it. Really, except to stop someone from getting it, you know? And that's the problem. You need to have a reason to vote for somebody. That's where, you know, that's where Hillary's going to have a challenge, unlike Bernie, you know?
Yes, I agree with that.
Okay, so how about... How about she won't back down on marriage equality?
But that's a Supreme Court decision, Bob.
That's a good one.
That's already been... That's settled law now by the Supreme Court.
No, because SCOTUS has to do with who she'd appoint.
Yeah.
Right.
Couldn't that be a state's issue, though, Bob?
No, because it's federal. If the GOP Congress passes a law that says, you know, another DOMA, for instance, she'll go and veto it.
So how much does Jay Cruzan owe the program right now? Are we up to 30, 40 bucks?
I'm at 50.
You're at 50.
We were doing all right up until my man went crazy and went negative on everything. So we were doing all right. I mean, that's all right. I understand. I get going too.
It was the It was the cheap cough syrup. Okay.
I will say this, Bob. To hear you go on a Hillary rant is probably, you're one of the best. Like, you can go and go, and it's not like you're bashing her and you're ripping her. Everything you say is true. So, I just listen, and it's.
I have no interest in bashing her.
I know you don't.
But
the sword fucking up until everything you say is correct, and it's like, well, he's exactly right.
Bob does the Sergeant Friday thing, just the facts, man.
Right, he does, and everything he says is correct. And I'm like, well, I can't really argue with everything he's saying because he's right. But I really don't want the Republican nominee to win.
Here's one, and it's way overdue, and I'm going to get the shit kicked out of me for even saying this, but how about the first female president?
I think that's worth it. I think you're right.
That's the $10 one. I mean, come on.
Does anybody at all, even progressive side, even really let that sink in yet, that we could have a female president and what that means historically?
Well, it's another barrier broken.
Right.
You mean she's a female?
That was good.
No, she's a man, baby. Man Coulter.
Hey, bye-bye to that Ken Books.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to buy that one.
Hey, $10 is $10, man.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, he didn't say anything about not putting chromosomal politics in there.
I have a feeling that if she does get in, I think a infrastructure bill will get passed.
How about she does support a $15 minimum wage if states want to do it? Jesus, that's weird.
There you go. She supports pot legalization if the states want to do it, although I don't think she even supports that.
Look at the stuff she wears, though. It's not that all feminine compared to...
No, we can't do that. We can't do that, Sparky, or we'll be called racist, misogynist, sexist, women haters.
We'll be called Trump, Sparky.
Well, they can't call me a racist. So.
You'll notice none of my critiques have had anything to do with her tone of voice. None of my critiques have had anything to do with her fashion choices, except for the one time that I did say that if any male politician walked out on stage in a banana suit, their career would be over. There is a double standard. There's stuff that she can get away with that a man can't.
I did say something about wearing an Armani suit and talking about inequality.
Hold on. We got a female coming in.
Okay. You might not have said that, Bob. I might be drinking too much cough syrup, too. But it might have been you. It might have been Malloy.
I mentioned it. It's just not an argument.
On Snopes, the Armani jacket thing or whatever... And inequality speech is listed as false. So
okay, see? I stand corrected. I apologize, Bob.
I'll let that be what it is. But I will say, and again, it's the cough syrup talking. I've never had any issue with a female being president. It's just this particular female that troubles me. I mean, that's just the way it is.
I want to make a point here. Okay, I'm going to jump in here, and I'm sorry here, but it's not. Hey guys. It's not that big of a deal. I mean, so what? There have been women in charge of other countries. It's not like this is, you know, it's not like she's the first woman that has led a country. I mean, it's just the first woman that's led America. So what?
You're right, Jules, but it'd be the first American female president.
Yeah, it's the first female for America leading. Yeah. I agree, but it's not the first female that has led a country. You know, I mean, we are way the fuck behind here.
Oh, yeah, we're in the Stone Age.
I mean, people are thinking this is so, you know, so great and grand. We're way behind is the only thing.
Well, and see, Jules, for me, this is an argument for her and against her. If anything, the last 8 years of the Obama administration have shown us that rather than damping down racism, his presidency has brought it out in the open and done so virulently. To that extent, a Hillary Clinton presidency is going to bring a tidal wave of misogyny out, and it is. I dare say that because they've had more time to develop their hatred for her, it is going to be a million times worse than what they brought to bear in terms of race against Obama.
Well, that's why we got to get
a lot,
out
Bob. Wow.
Vote these people out.
And it'll start on January the 21st, 2017, when they impanel the House Impeachment Committee against her.
Well, Bob, I'm inclined to agree with you in terms of what you just said. But then again, in the back of my mind, and again, I yield to the cough syrup, the cheap cough syrup.
Scott, I got a question for you with that cough syrup. Do you drink it through a swirly straw by chance?
Only when I can muster the suction. it takes a little extra to deal with that swirly straw. But
is that the cold cough syrup with the coating in it, or is that over the counter?
No, this is over the counter. But
This is the 80 proof cough syrup, okay, Trey?
It's better doing it through the swirly straw than doing it rectally. So,
but yes, indeed. But yes, my indeed. My point basically is this: with Hillary, I can't help but think that she has elements of Margaret Thatcher in her. Okay, Margaret Thatcher was a female leader of a major nation, and we all saw how well that worked out for Great Britain.
Okay? Well, Marty just pointed that out himself. He said the first woman to lead the UK was Margaret Thatcher. How good was she for people, really?
You know, and it may well turn out that Hillary will be just wonderful. Everything will be tickety-boo, and we'll sing in the sunshine with Gail Garnett, okay? But then again,
Gail Garnett, that's a good one.
One wonders. That's all I'm saying.
And maybe we can, Bobby, while we're talking music, we could perhaps yodel with Slim Whitman as well.
Oh, let's don't and say we didn't. I don't need anybody's heads exploding.
Slim Whitman. I haven't heard that in a long time.
He's the best-selling artist in Europe. Come on. He's the number one selling artist.
Yeah, but Mars Attacks?
Well, I can only do the Slim Whitman yodel if I'm wearing my specially modified BVDs with my Arthur Godfrey cord changer stuffed down my briefs. So
you're just dropping the names today. That's great.
All right.
Well, you know, I'm getting ready to do a story on I'm doing Tom's show on I'm doing something on FYI Nation, and I'm getting ready to do a story about what Sarah Silverman feels that should be done to men to show them what women have to go through and why they should say that abortion should be legal. So you guys don't want to hear it right now, and I'll save that for my show. So,
well, I mean, she's got a history. She said in front of God and everybody that she could negotiate away a part of a woman's right to choose. And that makes me nervous. Because even though I'm a guy, I want women
Obama
to have the
had
full
Social
pan-
Security
full
on the table too. He pulled that off.
There's just a few too many things that seem like that have only Nixon could go to China about them.
I agree.
Well, here's another thing: if it stays the way it is, and Hillary does get in and win, what Congress? Congress isn't going to work with her. So where are we at then?
Well, I mean, that was the same thing they said about Bernie. Well, I mean, the Congress isn't going to work with any Democrat, so, you know, fuck Bernie.
Well, probably right where we are now.
Bernie was just the king of amendments. He would go around and add things, but he didn't want credit for it. That's what he was so good at.
Right, and that's why the New York Times had to spike that story.
Right.
I mean, it was so bad that it was such rotten conduct that the New York Times' own public editor called them out.
Yeah, it was pretty bad. New York Times. Isn't that like a liberal rag I've heard? I don't know.
Yeah, it's a bunch of liberals, bunch of pinkos.
Hey, Jules?
Jules?
For some reason, I didn't make the connection that you're the same Jules that's filling in for Tom on FYI Nation this week. I was going to give you a plug earlier, but then you popped in, which is good. Why don't they take phone calls on that show? That's a great little show, but I sit here and I think I'm going to take
calls tomorrow, actually. I think I'm going to take calls since I have the phone system worked out.
Oh, cool.
I've never worked the phones before, but I'm working out the tech this week, and I think I'm going to take calls tomorrow, actually.
Okay, well, that's cool. I was listening a little bit last night, and I enjoyed it, and I hope to tune in tonight.
Okay, well, that's great. I would love that.
Jules, are you on every night, or how does it work? Because I know one day I turned it on, it was like 3 in the afternoon, and you were on.
We do replays in the afternoon, so.
Okay, maybe that's what it was then. Okay.
Yeah, we run from 9 until midnight at night.
And you run against Mike Malloy. How dare you do that?
Yeah, I know. That's terrible, I know.
Tim just sent me a link. The headline is White House admits FBI probe of Hillary's emails is a criminal investigation. And Tim said, could you please bring this up? And I'm bringing it up, but I'm also bringing it up with the caveat that it's a post from Town Hall.
Oh boy.
So what it boils down to
is a right wing site.
Yeah. And you know, Benghazi. They got Benghazi fever over there.
Okay, I'm going to bite on the email story here real quick. I read that 82-page report, and the only thing that I really came of it is that they didn't print out emails and put them in a file cabinet. What was the? I didn't understand it. Somebody help me out. I'm asking because I don't know and I want to know.
I'm not necessarily willing to go there.
Okay.
The problem with federal laws, especially national security laws, is that they are brutally arcane.
Mm-hmm.
And if the FBI wants you, they will find a way to have you.
Yes, I agree with that.
Totally agree.
And I mean, if the feds decide they want you, and you say, that's a lovely black suit you're wearing, special agent, he can say, God damn it, it was charcoal all along. You're busted, sister. And we're going to hit your ass with obstruction of justice.
So wouldn't you think she would already be hit with whatever it was by now, or no?
Absolutely not.
This is me. I'm not a Hillary bot. I'm just asking a question.
No, I don't think that.
Okay.
Bob, Nicole has been running with stories about RICO charges against the Clinton Foundation. It was posted on the Huffington Post and then redacted.
Hey.
So, I mean, I don't know what to make of that. I mean, but where there's smoke, I mean, take it from there.
I'm just saying that, okay, for instance, this story that Tim sent me.
Hey, I just found a list of 20 items, a list of things that electing Hillary will do. So I think Jay Cruz has got to pay up $200 here from the Daily Post. See that link?
Well, unfortunately, Jay Cruzen's apparently working or not listening or something.
I think he made that up. He's not going to pay it off.
There's at least five?
Is that what we said?
He will.
It's a I list know. Of 20 numbered items that are all blank. It's a joke. It's a joke post.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
No. To get back to the... Okay, so the White House press secretary is Josh Earnest.
Mm-hmm.
This woman at Town Hall is having a conniption because of something that he said in the press briefing today.
Mm-hmm.
He was talking about the FBI. Oddly enough, in the YouTube clip, the font underneath it is breaking news. Obama endorses Hillary Clinton. How that was breaking news, I will never know.
I agree.
But Josh Earnest said in response to a question, they don't, talking about FBI agents, okay, they don't have political jobs. They have career jobs as law enforcement officers and as prosecutors and investigators. That's what their responsibility is. And that's why the president, when discussing, I'm reading slowly because I don't want to just get this lost in the jumble.
You know, I'm not very smart, Bob. That's why you're reading slow. Thank you.
No. And that's why the president, when discussing this issue in each stage, has reiterated his commitment to this principle that any criminal investigation should be conducted independent of any sort of political interference, and that people should be treated the same way before the law, regardless of their political influence, regardless of their political party, regardless of their political stature, and regardless of what political figure has endorsed them. And out of this, town hall got, oh my Jesus, OMG, !!!!! They said it's a criminal investigation. Well, the fact of the matter is, the FBI, I mean, there's a little bit of, you know, there's a little bit of fudging going on, because when she was asked about it, Hillary said, well, you know, it's just a security inquiry. Those were her words. Well,
I heard her say that. You're right.
Newsflash.
Newsflash.
The FBI doesn't do security inquiries. They don't do criminal investigations.
They don't do civil investigations either.
Right.
All they do is criminal investigations.
Well, let's just play. It's fine. Let's say it's a criminal act and she gets indicted and she goes away. The Republicans really want to go against Bernie? Really?
Oh, they wouldn't go against Bernie.
Oh, it wouldn't even be a contest.
No. Bernie would not be the nominee.
Who would it be then?
Uncle Joe Biden.
That's true. That's true, yeah. They'll chew him up and spit him out there too, though. So
he would be the nominee. Yeah. He would be the nominee, just like Hubert Humphrey was the nominee in 1968.
How'd that go?
Yeah, I think you know.
I know how it went.
I think, you know, I wouldn't compare the two necessarily, Bob. I think Biden has much more popular support than Humphrey ever did. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong.
Well, no, I'm just saying it's a similar circumstance. I'm not saying it worked out the same way electorally. Because people were already so pissed off from the way the convention was handled up to that point, from the way the nominating process, not even the primaries. This is kind of a pre-primary America. Nominating process was handled, they were so pissed off that it was already too damn late.
So, I mean, at least what we have going for us now, Bob, is that, you know, unlike 1968, at least there's a process in place, and it's a fairly I'm not saying it's well designed, but it's been in place for quite a long time. Whereas in 68, I mean, the main candidate initially was Eugene McCarthy, and then RFK jumped into it, and then he got killed. And then there was all there was left was basically Eugene McCarthy and whoever else had been in the primaries and so forth. So the party bosses just chose Humphrey. So, I guess if you get a candidate that's outside of the process, unless you have, let's say, Governor O'Malley as the nominee, if you throw in Joe, then I guess that is a lot like Humphrey in terms of, you know, he wouldn't have been in any of the primaries, and yet he becomes the nominee.
Well,
although O'Malley, I think, dropped out after Iowa, so I guess he was in one, wasn't he, or not?
Lakerman's telling me that after the convention, it would be her vice presidential pick as the nominee. After the convention.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Anything up okay. to the nomination. Now, here's another point that I'd like to raise and get your thoughts. I'm assuming she's not going to be indicted because she's not going to be indicted.
Okay.
That being the case, she's going to be the nominee, okay? Let's deal okay. with it. Let's do the whole reality spoken here thing and deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how she becomes the nominee, on the other hand, matters. Right now, as we speak, she does not have enough, and I mean, we expected this. She does not have enough pledged delegates to go over the top. She may not even have enough pledged delegates to go over the top after D.C. If she goes okay. in, if she goes into the convention, I can tell you what she's going to want. She's going to want exactly what Barack Obama got. Nomination by acclamation. If she is nominated by acclamation, that will mean she has been nominated by the pledged delegates in conjunction with the super delegates, which will delegitimize okay. her nomination to one extent or another among a whole bunch of people. My suggestion,
right.
for what it's worth,
go ahead.
Is that we need to have a traditional convention roll call of the states. When they get up to the last instant where it becomes clear that she does not have the pledged delegates with which to receive the nomination, Bernie steps in and says, "Now I release my delegates." And they vote for her. That will, for at least a whole lot of people, that will heal the party, and that will mean the super delegates didn't get a say-so. And then we can go about the business.
Does that mean?
And then we can go about the business of getting the hell rid of the super delegates.
So does that mean after the primary in D.C., even if Bernie decides to stop his campaign,
he's got a big rally.
The convention.
He had a big rally today in D.C.
Yeah, I know. I'm just saying, if he decides to say, "All right," after D.C. Let's say he loses D.C. and he says,
"Well, he doesn't
right,
have
I'm
to."
Fine.
He doesn't go. Have to do anything.
Okay. Okay. I'm just asking. I'm not.
No, I'm not being pissy. He doesn't have to do anything. No, he has said
not,
he is going
not.
To take his delegates and his issues to the convention. And I say that he is perfectly he has a perfect right to do that. He has a perfect right to play within the rules.
I've got a question, Bob.
He should not make any arguments regarding superdelegate support. The point
right.
here is to kill the superdelegate system.
I think that's going to happen. I don't think anybody, you know, I've even heard that Clinton, you know, I've heard some rumors or reports that Clinton is even open to the idea of getting rid of the superdelegate system. So, I mean, that's one of the things that Bernie, you know, that's one of the concessions he ought to insist on in terms of throwing his support behind Hillary. You know, that needs to be one of his bargaining chips as well as the platform. But, I mean, as we all know, the platform is only worth as much as the paper it's written on. It's not enforceable. It's just a statement of general policy and principles of the party. And effectively, the leader of the party, the candidate, can decide which parts of the platform they like and which ones they don't like. You know, so Hillary's going to give all that stuff to him. But it won't make a damn bit of difference. But the superdelegates is really more of a concession to some extent. And also having, you know, Wasserman Schultz head on a platter and spray painted the color Bernie wants, it would also, you know, be a good concession.
Yeah.
if you want to call it that.
And bear in mind that states that have already had their conventions, I think, for instance, Wisconsin and Minnesota have both passed resolutions damning the superdelegates.
I've got a question, Bob.
Yeah, go ahead.
The question kind of begs to be asked, so I'll step back and then shift over a couple of paces this way and ask the question. As we sit now, this supposedly being the best of all possible worlds, for both parties and both nominees, which one right now, as things stand, is in the more effed up situation? The Democrats with Hillary or the Republicans with Trump?
Oh, by a million miles, the Republicans with Trump.
I agree.
But, Bob, we have our own issues to deal with as well. I mean, if you will just do the university scandal, if you will just Google LAURAETE university scandal, Bill was paid over $16.5 million between 2004 and 2014 to serve as an honorary chancellor for Laureate University. And if you don't think that's not going to come out, I mean...
Well, in conjunction with the Trump University stuff, sauce for the goose is sauce for the gander, right?
Right. Exactly. Yep. Exactly.
That's one of those for-profit colleges, wasn't it?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Yeah, they were involved in that.
Just Google it. I'm not making this up.
No,
you're not.
Laureate was a scam.
Yep.
But here's what I'm wondering, and
if
what
I can see it, everybody else can see it. And I'm sorry to interrupt. Go ahead, Fred.
What I'm wondering, and what prompted my question about which nominee and which party is in the more effed up situation at this point, is this: is this really the best we can do? Hillary on our side and Trump on their side. I mean, 300 and some odd million Americans, many of whom are eminently qualified to run. And yet it comes down to Trump and Clinton. Jesus. I mean, come on.
Right. Scott, these are the choices that the money in the country have decided we're going to have. Okay?
We're going to have the best government money can buy. For years.
I read today that the Koch brothers are going to talk to Trump. And one said he's opened it. Talking with Hillary.
Oh, sure. They're every bit as pragmatic as she is. And remember, you know, she's out there courting Bush donors. She's out there. She's already gotten several million dollars from a cruise millionaire.
And then there's that Republican for Hillary PAC that's just started.
Yeah.
Well, all this being true, then, I've decided my course of action. Tomorrow I'm going to get on the phone and order up a big supply so I can be the West Coast distributor of Don't Blame Me, I Voted for Bernie bumper stickers.
I thought you were going to say a stock of heroin. I was going to say I'm coming to your place.
Yeah, well, Chris in Germany says she's laying down an entire wine cellar's worth of bourbon. And me, remember, you all have a job to do about, the election's on Tuesday. I need the emails over the previous weekend. Bob, don't forget cheap tequila Monday at the liquor store, because liquor stores are closed on election day here.
Well, I'm making arrangements for the vodka truck to back up to my domicile and run a hose in here.
I need to get a hold of my dealer. I'm going to the hard stuff.
Hey, guys, all kidding aside, all right. we got 21 minutes left to go in the program. We are $240 in the hole.
Oh, okay.
And not much is happening. So,
well, I'll tell you what, Bob. I'm going to cut loose $50 of the challenge. And I'm going to, so that's unconditional. I'll give you 50, okay, what I owe you. And we're going to do a double or nothing fee assessment. So I will, if someone comes in with another 50, I'll pay another 50. So it'll be a total of 100.
Well, that would be beautiful. That would take a big hunk out of what we got, what we've got to deal with here.
You must have been really busy billing.
Oh, Rick. Always busy. Yeah. Yeah.
He can divide his, time into fragments of seconds.
Pretty much.
Yeah, he's the he's a numbers guy.
No, he's a lawyer guy.
Yeah.
Even better.
There are two things that every good lawyer can do: divide anything by three, and the other thing is divide a second into more fragments than a drummer can do with beats.
Yeah.
Hmm.
You guys want to hear my first drone I ever saw story?
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay, everybody knows I served in the Air Force and I was in Thailand in 1974 working on B-52s that had stopped bombing Cambodia 10 days before I got there. But anyway, we were coming off the flight line one day. I think I was driving the electric shop truck. And there's a transit parking area right by the gate that was where we exited the flight line, where all these neat planes used to come in. Like I saw my first Spectre gunship there, and then one day a bunch of the OV-10s come in there, and all these guys were running around. They had these hats on that said TWA. I said, "What does TWA stand for?" They went, "Teeny Weeny Air Force," because they were armed with rockets and shit like that. But this 130 pulls in there one day and there's these things hanging off its wing, and I go, "What the hell the fuck are those?" And the guy says, "Those are drones." And I said, "What?" I said, "How do those things work?" I said, he says, "They launch off a C-130 and then they fly them down the Ho Chi Minh Trail doing photo reconnaissance, and then when they finish flying them, they go to an altitude, deploy a chute, and then the 130 picks them right out of the air and drags them in the back." I said, "Oh, well, they were the first variation of a cruise missile. That's where your cruise missile comes from. Because had the wings that deployed off the side."
But it was.
Hey, I got a Bernie story.
It was prop driven.
No. Jet driven. Small jet.
Oh wow.
Air breathing jet motor, like cruise missile is more like a jet thing too, instead of a rocket.
Yeah.
Because it's more like in the vein of a V-2. I mean V-2 or V-1. I forget.
Hey, guys, I saw Bernie at the Coliseum Plaza on Saturday night.
Oh, yeah?
Did you get it inside the fence?
No, I didn't. I was outside of the fence. Mm. But I taped most of his speech. I filmed it. I could sort of see him, like, through the slats in the gate, you know? But, I mean, he apparently was going to do a show at the Greek, but I guess some city council member who was a pro Clinton person put the nix on that, and Clinton instead got to do the Greek on Monday night.
Isn't that interesting?
That's a bitch. That's
yeah, that is interesting. But the plot, and Bernie didn't even get inside the Coliseum. People had to, he had to stand outside of it in the plaza, you know? So, I mean, it was, you know, it's a pretty decent venue to speak in, but you don't nearly get as many people there. Maybe a few thousand. I don't really know exactly. I mean, were you watching that, Sparky, on CNN? Or did they probably didn't have it on Saturday night. They do their, what, they do their cop shows or whatever the hell they do, the, you know, bad boy.
No, I don't watch MSNBC. I was watching it on YouTube feed.
Oh, okay. But it was
interesting. And I was pissed because they didn't do all the concert stuff. When they did San Francisco one the next day,
they had like
Monday. Monday they had everybody in there. They showed Dave Matthews and.
Well, Dave Matthews wasn't in L.A., but it was, the only concert I heard, the only group I heard perform was Ozzamotley, which is not bad, you know, kind of Latin rock and roll or whatever. But I think the highlight of it, Susan Sarandon got to introduce Bernie. She spoke for maybe 4 or 5 minutes. And then Dick Van Dyke got up there, and the greatest line of the night was, "Hi, I'm Dick Van Dyke, or what's left of him." So, I mean, the guy, he said he just turned 90, I guess, in December. And, you know, he really was very eloquent in his, support for Bernie. And
he's still a spry 92 dancing.
Oh, that guy was dancing. Yeah, he was like dancing, you know? He was like, what is that? He was a Mary Poppins, I think, wasn't he?
That's what made him famous.
Yeah, he was like singing, you know, supercalifragilisticexpialidocious and all that stuff a little bit. But, you know, he seems like, you know, I guess that's why he's lived so long, because he seems like a pretty well-adjusted guy and happy. And basically he said, look, I haven't seen a candidate like this, you know, run as a Democrat for like 40 years now. It's like, you know, everything he says, it's like, wow, I agree with this. It's like, where have they been? You know? So, I mean, it was a very, good speech. I'm glad I went to see it. CNN and I guess it was AP jumped the gun before the California primary and called it for Hillary. And, you know, who knows how many points that depressed Bernie's turnout by. I mean, I still think California.
That was not a boating accident, okay?
No, that was the Democratic establishment asserting itself within the AP. You know?
Yeah, who picks up the phone when the Clinton camp calls?
Right. Exactly.
She can't lose California. It's so important because we need she needs to have momentum going into the convention. Now that granted sounds a little paranoid and conspiratorial, but you know that, but again that's the thing, you know, in the so-called post-mortem analysis of all of this, she had this entire thing set up because her people, with the millions and millions and millions of dollars behind them, had been setting it up since the convention gaveled Senate DA in 2008.
Yeah.
I mean, she is probably the most ambitious American politician we have seen come down the pike in the last 150 years.
Is she more ambitious than her husband?
Yeah, I think so.
I agree with that one. Yes.
Because she's driven by a mission. You know, she hates the part of politics that Bill likes. Bill likes the, hi, yeah, how's your mama? Yeah, I'm going to shake your hand here. Now I'm going to put my hand on your shoulder. Yeah, oh, I tell you what, let's go have a Big Mac. Yeah, he loves that shit. Somebody hand me a baby to shake and a hand to kiss, damn it. He loves that stuff.
Somebody let me use their AstroTurf in their pickup truck as well.
She despises it. She just wants...
She likes the other part of it.
She wants the power.
Yeah.
And she wants to make sense. And she wants to have at least a sentence in history.
Well, she either as the winner, the first woman nominated as a major party candidate. And then the second sentence will be, she either wins the White House or loses it. You know, so she'll have two sentences.
Well, and the and depending on how she performs, she may be the first woman president, or she may be the worst woman president.
Mm. Or both.
Or both.
Well, and no, not or, and it'll be it's and both, not or both, because she will be the worst woman president to about 57% of this country.
Yeah, that's no matter what you tell them, too. You're right about that. You're right.
And, hey, Rick, your challenge has been picked up by both Randy and Thomas.
Awesome. Well, I better pay up now, then. So, 100. Cool.
And that'll get us, thank you very kindly to both of those folks, and thank you very kindly to our buddy Charlie in Tennessee. That leaves us, $20 short. So that's pretty awesome.
I get paid tomorrow, so when I wake up, I will give the $20.
Well, I'm sorry. That's I don't mean to put the press on, but you know.
No. That's worth it. It's worth it. If I had the money now, I'd give it to you today.
I don't want what happened to us a couple of Mondays back to ever happen again.
No. I'll make sure of it. You'll get it.
Oh, thanks, Trey. Thanks very much. So, I guess because it's Thursday, we didn't hear from Tracy this evening. Although now that I've...
I was a little upset about that. I was hoping she would call in.
You never know with Tracy. Can I make an announcement?
Yes.
The Horn Molloy Friday night group may start late, like not at 9 o'clock Pacific time, because I'm going to be watching the Warriors game tomorrow night.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And hopefully they don't get stomped like they did last night.
Yeah, that was kind of ugly. I mean, that was kind of like...
Cleveland got their butts kicked the first two nights, so...
It's a decent series.
It is.
I can hope.
You think it's going to go 7?
It could.
I think it could.
I just hope they have some close games. These blowout games are boring.
I want to back up for a second though. I just realized where Tracy is.
Barbecuing.
Where?
She's probably out looking at smokers.
Yeah.
Hey, Bob.
Yes.
Speaking of barbecue, I sent you a couple of photos the other day.
Oh yes, of the Arthur Bryant and the editorial cartoon.
Yes. Have you ever had Arthur Bryant's original barbecue sauce?
Yes. Yes. Many years ago.
What do you think of it?
It's good. I have my own biases, however, so.
Yeah. People either love it or don't.
I'm not agnostic about it at all. No, I like it. It's just if you say barbecue sauce to me, I reply with one word. Dreamland.
I don't know where is that. I mean, I don't. I was in Kansas City for many years.
Then that would explain it. Dreamland is on. Dreamland is on Jug Factory Road in Tuscaloosa, Alabama.
Oh, okay.
And the sauce is a religious thing.
Hey, Bob.
Yeah.
Tell me again how good that Benton's bacon is, because I checked it out. It cost $55 to have 4 pounds shipped to me.
Wow, most of that's the shipping. So what does that work out to? 45. One. That's still not a hell of a lot more than grocery store bacon, especially compared. It's the best bacon I've ever eaten in my life. And I've eaten a lot of it.
Okay.
I mean, when you cook with it, you will perfume your entire house with hickory.
Look out.
Okay. Because I'm going to, I've got my fingers crossed to get tomatoes by the 4th of July.
Ooh.
And they're just going hog wild.
And then just get yourself the awesomest San Francisco sourdough you can lay hands on.
Oh, I will.
Hey, I'm going to hop off there.
Go ahead.
We slipped some food porn in there. That's cool at the very end.
Yeah, there you go. I'm going to hop off here so I can get my stuff set up. I hope everyone has a good night. By the way, Boca Brittany Summers is going to be on for a few minutes at the beginning of the show. So if anyone wants to, from Nicole Sandler's show, so if anyone wants to hop over there for a few minutes after Bob's show, enjoy. I'll see you guys later, okay?
Absolutely.
Okay. Have a good night, folks.
All right. Break a leg, night. Jules.
See you, Trey. See you, Jules.
Enjoy the show, Bob. Love you. Bye-bye, bye.
Thanks so much.
Bye, Jules.
Bye.
Oh, yeah, this just in.
Tim's
going to host early Horn Malloy Skype chat tomorrow.
I'll do it.
Oh, cool. Thanks, Tim. I'd love to be there. Yeah, somebody bobbed me.
Yeah, hey, Bob. It was me, Steve, from Georgistan. Just wanted to let you know, I hope you enjoy your hiatus. I appreciate each and everybody in here, and I hope to be back soon. I appreciate you guys. I'll catch you the next go-around.
All right, cool. We'll look for you again, Steve. Hope you'll join in. It's been fun.
I will. Thank you, Bob.
Steve.
Have a good one, Steve.
Thanks.
Later, Steve. Yeah, I'll hold.
Cool.
So, Tim, you were at the Bernie rally, right?
No, I couldn't make it.
Oh, I thought you were. I thought I heard you say you were. Okay. Okay.
I wanted to go.
Yeah. He was just promoting it on Facebook.
Oh, okay.
And Twitter. Okay. So how many people showed up? I heard quite a bit.
There were quite a few. There were at least a few thousand. I mean, it was, he spoke about an hour and 10 minutes, I think. So it was very, you know, it was a very good speech. I mean, that guy is like, really, he really motivates people.
He was walking in Huntington Park. I'm like, holy shit, HP?
Really?
Yeah.
He was really going for California. He was, I'm sure he was disappointed that he lost California.
Well, apparently, there's lots of stories out there. I read an LA Times story earlier today. You know, and again, LA Times, not BernieOrBust.com or US Uncut, the LA freaking Times, with the reporter saying, you know, I really don't want to believe the conspiracy stuff, but he said trying to vote in California was a near impossibility, and the number of people who were compelled to take provisional ballots was shameful.
12 million.
Hmm.
So now they're counting the provisional ballots. So that's going to take a while now.
Well, yeah, Bernie asked for a count of those, I think. He wanted to count all the votes. But Hillary got she was out to like a 24-point lead based on just the absentee ballots. That was like 32% of the votes cast.
Well, they said that the mail-in ballots are usually people who are Hillary supporters.
They're older people usually, yeah.
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 Well, but 24 points. I voted for Bernie.
Yeah.
You're the outlier ballot.
I did too. I wore a shirt that said Bernie fucking Sanders into the polls, and the poll workers didn't say anything to me. So I.
Well, I'm permanent mail-in.
Yeah, I like the ritual of going in every election day to vote. I've never mailed it in.
Well, I used to do that, but when I had to start taking care of mom and dad,
yeah,
I went permanent mail-in.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I figure, why change it?
Yeah, I'm still a go to the polls nerd too.
Yeah.
Hey, I don't know. Donk, how do they do that? Is it Inca dot or do you mark? Yeah, how do you do mail-in?
You got it's a regular ballot. Just fill in the dot now. It used to be fill one line between the tail of the arrow and the head of the arrow.
Hey, guys, we got to get out of here. It's about 30 seconds to 9. Thanks, everybody, for joining in. Thanks to Sparky for moderating, as he always does, the Horn Malloy Skype chat group. Thanks, Billable Rick, for the challenge and for encouraging others. Thank you, Tim. Thank you, Scott. Thank you, Trey. Thanks, Jules, for joining in. And hey, thank you, Steve from Georgistan. It was a real pleasure to have you on board for your first Friday on the Front Porch. So again, a reminder: I'll be filling in for Malloy on Monday evening. So what we'll probably do is we'll do a two-hour program here, and then do the 2 hours of Malloy from 9 to 11. I hope you all have a wonderful weekend. Maybe I'll tweet or something updating from the West Virginia Democratic Convention. Thanks again for your continuing support of this humble independent broadcasting effort and creating the magnificent community that you do. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Good night, y'all.